It's Sophia Franklin. You are listening to Sophia with an F.
Hey, Sleuth.
And the F is for phenomenal. This podcast is rated F. People go to Coachella with their makeup artists. And it's just funny because there's that happening next door. And then there's me hoping that my friend's foundation shade will hopefully match mine. Can you feel it, Sleuths? The days are getting warmer and spring has officially sprung, which means spring break is here. Which, for the older folk, that basically means people are going outside, they're staying outside, and they are staying out way longer. But the thing is, who wants to deal with those post-party struggles? I know I don't. I mean, I quite literally and physically can't at this stage in my life. And that's where my spring break essential comes in, which is Taste Salud. Say goodbye to the Sunday scaries with Taste Salud's hydrating drink mixes. Listen, I started my spring break a little bit early last weekend when my best friend Allie came to town. And we had a night or two on the town, and how I felt, honestly, come Monday morning was better than any spring break party you can imagine. And that is a rare occurrence for me and has only started happening since I've started drinking Taste Salud religiously. Because unlike those big name brands we all know, Salud knocks it out of the park with their one-of-a-kind flavors. I'm drinking one right now. And no, it's not because I plan on drinking any kind of alcohol, but just because I'm trying to get hydrated and energized. I'm obviously drinking the horchata flavor, but you get to enjoy flavors like cucumber lime, hibiscus, and they even have mocktails now. Say hello to Paloma and strawberry margarita. Filled with electrolytes and vitamins that support hydration and boost immunity with less sugar. I'm talking only 1 gram of sugar per stick. This is exactly what you need to get your Sunday fun day going, regardless of what the rest of the day entails. And here's the best part. They're sharing the love with all of my listeners. Enjoy 10% off your first purchase with the code SOFIA10 at checkout. That's SOFIA and the number 10 at TasteSalud.com. Cheers to health this spring break season with Taste Salud. Okay, guys. This is a little bit new and different. I'm gonna throw my phone out the window and let's just jump right into this episode. I am wearing a bucket hat. I am wearing sunglasses. I am wearing ridiculous pants that are about to bust at the seams, and not because I have a fat ass, because I have a fat vagina, apparently. But welcome to Sophia with an F. And if you want to see how I'm looking right now, which I feel like you definitely should, subscribe to my YouTube channel. And we have a very special episode in store for us right now because I haven't done one of these in a while. And it's just going to be me. For the next however long, it's just gonna be me talking to you guys directly, and I'm recording this from home, and we always know how crazy that shit gets. So Coachella, that's really what inspired this episode. As if you guys haven't been hit with enough Coachella propaganda, I'm here to bring it back. The reason I want to talk about it is
I'm going to list it in order of importance, okay? Number one thing, I met so many sleuths. Like, so fucking many of you. We were taking shots. We were dancing. I think I tried to take one of your guys' sunglasses, but then I felt bad and I didn't. We were having, like, deep conversations in the Gobi tent. It was sick. Like, it was so fun and amazing. And you guys made me look fucking dope. Especially because I was with my manager half the time. It was a magical experience, not because it was Coachella, not because of the drugs involved, not because of the music, God forbid, but because of you guys. That's number one. Number two, I saw Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Number three is, are you guys ready for the actual cringiest shit ever? It was the most unexpected, incredible growing experience for me. And me saying that about Coachella, which I have without a doubt, no question, talked so much shit. And I'm going to tell you why, okay? I've been to Coachella twice. Once I went using a fake ID. Half of my friends ended up in the medical tent. I peed myself. And I still got on a guy's shoulders, and that was Coachella experience number one. And then my second Coachella, my ex did not invite me, so he was my boyfriend at the time. But then one of the friends, like, took a stripper, and then something happened with a stripper, and, like, they both had to leave. And my boyfriend calls me up, and he's like, yo, there's an extra artist pass. I don't know if you want to catch, like, the last performance of the night, and then you can do Sunday. And I was like, baby, of course. I am so happy that you would even think of me. I'm sure there were 10 other bitches you tried to get here, but I'm the one who's going to get on this flight and get right on over. So that was Coachella experience number two. And I didn't really, like, ever want to go back, not because it was, like, this horrible experience, not, it's just, I haven't been to a music festival in years. Like, that was 10 years ago. And I can't honestly think of one music festival that I've been to since then. Okay, why did I decide to go? Honestly, it's because, A, I had missed out on going to the People's Choice Awards, and, like, I felt like shit. Like, that was a bad call on my part. And just for, like, I'm not going to say networking, because I think I knew goddamn well no networking was going to be happening. But maybe, like, from, like, a branding, get content perspective, that was tiniest reason why. Second reason was Lana Del Rey. She has been my queen. She has been my everything. And that's it. The third reason is because I have a completely warped view of my life right now. I think about things and live my life as if every day were my last. And not from a gratitude perspective, not from this, like, you only have now and tomorrow isn't promised, so take life by the reins kind of thing. It's this totally warped, delulu, like, perspective that I have. And it's not even a perspective. It's something I actually believe, that this is going to be my last Coachella, because come Coachella 2025, I'm going to be married with kids. I have to go to this particular Coachella because, considering my age, this time next year, I'll be living in the countryside, newlywed, and 4 months pregnant. Do I have a boyfriend? No. Has anyone proposed to me? No. Have I had sex and has someone ejaculated in and around that area to produce a baby? No. So it's just, I see that it's completely delusional and it doesn't make sense, but that's where I'm at in my life. And so I think for all of those reasons, it just kind of came together. But I want to focus on why it was life-changing, because it really was. I need to preface this. I need to start from the beginning so you guys like really understand where my head was at. I was invited to go by my manager and my management team. I'm not going to say invited, but like they had a house in Palm Springs. My manager was like, why not? It will be so much fun. Just come do it. You'll have the best time. And I was like, bet. I wanted to bring a friend so that I had someone that I knew intimately and that would make me feel a little bit safer. And, you know, I was going to force that bitch to get all the content in the world of me. Mind you, the day before, I was in Canada. You heard that correctly. There was no stutter. I had flown to Canada from New York, spent the night there, worked all day, left that day, back to New York, and then was off to California. And what started off as like this weekend of just pure bliss, well, that's what I thought it was going to be. The weekend started off bad. And then it got worse. And then it got really, really bad and progressively worse. And I almost actually flew back to New York. That's how bad it got. And I am so happy that I decided to stay, because that's when all of these like incredible things started to come together for me. So day one, I wake up late. I am looking everywhere for my makeup bag. Left it in the Uber. Okay. You know what? It's not even a big deal. I'm borrowing my friend's makeup. And it's just like, the reason it's funny is people go to Coachella with their makeup artists. And it's just funny because there's that happening next door. And then there's me hoping that my friend's foundation shade will hopefully match mine. Oh my God. And then the outfits. The outfits. Girls are planning their outfits months in advance. And when I say they are planning it, I mean their stylists. That's another question. Like, are they traveling and just rolling in deep with the makeup artist, hairstylist, clothing stylist? Like, is that really how it works? I'm going to look into it. I'm going to ask some of my friends. That was not me. Me and my assistant were ripping open Amazon packages like crazy buffoons and just complete chaos and throwing headscarves out and seeing if like this shirt fit me and these boots. Okay, they didn't show up on time. Oh shit, two of my outfits didn't show up on time. Just ripping apart all of these like Amazon packages 2 hours before my flight. And that was kind of the vibe I was on. But I mean, it was fine. The things I packed were a little bit interesting. Like, why did I feel the need to pack space blankets? And if you are not familiar with what a space blanket is, I didn't know what it was either. I typed in what to pack for Coachella because it's been that long and I don't know, someone mentioned it gets really cold at night, so make sure you buy these little space blanket things. And I was like, bet. Buy a little fan, bet. Like, whatever this list on this article said, I bought every single thing. The space blankets are essentially, which I found out while I was at the festival freezing my ass off, and it's this aluminum foil, metallic, silver, blinding, crazy alien space poncho is what it is. And it does keep you warm. I'm going to give you that. Perfect for Neon Carnival. I think it's meant more for, like, if you're hiking out in the mountains and there's a chance that you're going to have to, like, spend the night. And it's like literally an emergency kit. But it was all good. I definitely had, like, some cute shit with me. We get ready. I have a couple shots. We make the absolute pilgrimage to the festival. I forgot how long and intensive and massive Coachella Valley is. And I had an artist pass. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that to be like, I had an artist pass and I felt as if I was like in Yosemite National Park and should have had a walking stick. And then there's just a line after a line. And then you get in like a golf cart. And then there's a guy with a bicycle. And then you don't have cash. So then you like Venmo a random person to give you cash. And then you get on it. And it's like, can I get to the festival, please? Yeah, I forgot about that whole part about Coachella. The other thing about the artist pass is I have never been around so many gorgeous people in my life. It's like there's already the hottest people living in LA and Miami and New York, and then you take all of those people and then you concentrate that area even more so, and you shove them all into the artist pass section. It was like model after model after model. And this could be me being like a total hater. Is it just me, or do models just look pouty and upset like 24/7? If you're like me and your CD organizer was filled with, now that's what I call discs, and illegally downloaded music you got off of LimeWire, which left 97,000 viruses on the home computer, you are a millennial. And if you're a millennial, it's time to add Clarins Multi-Active Cream to your daily routine. I know the new kids have been obsessed with skincare since they were 4 years old, but we had a real childhood. And some of us may be a little bit late to the game, and that's okay. The good news is Europe's number one skincare line has a solution you can trust. Rooted in nature and innovated in science, Clarins has a long-standing reputation for creating industry-first, plant-forward products. Clarins Multi-Active Cream has been clinically proven to target the first visible signs of aging by smoothing lines and wrinkles, refining pores, evening tone and texture, and strengthening the skin's moisture barrier, aka all really good things. I've been using Clarins Multi-Active Cream for about a month now, and I swear, not only does my skin feel amazing, but I can actually see a difference. It really looks like I'm getting, I don't know, the recommended amount of sleep that the normal human requires. Yay! And fortunately for you, you don't have to fly across the world to get it. Clarins Multi-Active Cream is available online now. Go to clarins.com/Sophia and get Multi-Active Day-Night Cream for 10% off,
a free welcome gift plus free shipping on your first order. That's clarins.com/Sophia with promo code Sophia. clarins.com/Sophia with promo code Sophia.
Because I just remember looking around and the most beautiful girls just, they have like this, like this pout. Like they like actually wanted to die being there. I don't know. Maybe it's like the model off duty look. It's probably how I fucking look, honestly. But I thought that was like an interesting observation. And the vibes were amazing. I ran into like all these people I know. Lil Uzi Vert is performing. I saw No Doubt. I'm obviously mixing up the days. I'm laughing. I'm getting the margarita Red Bull. They ask if you want a single or a double shot. Like, it's in the details. Like, it's shit like that where I was like, yeah, I'm meant to be here. Oh my God, I just remembered. I saw like Teresa Giudice from Real Housewives of New Jersey. And the reason that celebrity is sticking out to me is because she like took a picture with someone and then I saw someone basically run over her daughter and spill their drinks everywhere. Just like a random side note. But we were laughing and we were dancing and we were vibing and the energy was insane and I'm turning up and turning up even more. And then we are headed to Lana Del Rey. I got to the tent early because she was the most important, really the only person I genuinely cared to see. And I feel the turn up upping, you know, like the partying intensifies. And this is kind of how these things go when you are partying and you have not been to a music festival in 10 years and you are acting like you are still that young girl at her first rave at the Saltaire in Utah. And it's getting more and more intense, and I have to vomit everywhere. And I really was like trying to be in denial for so long. Like, it was probably written all over my face, but like, that's the great thing about the bucket hat, the sunglasses, and the scarf. Cause you just wrap that shit around your face, and no one knows what kind of vibe you are in. I was really just trying to write it out until I was like, would I rather puke right here in front of all these people standing up like into my shoes, or should I be somewhat ladylike and maybe like do it off to the side? So shit hits me. Overwhelming doesn't even begin to explain it. I grab my friend and I'm like, I am so sorry. Can we just like go sit in the grass for a sec? She's like, absolutely. We sit down and I almost feel like I shouldn't have sat down because then I was just like feeling the grass as if I had never touched grass before. But then I'm like rocking back and forth and heaving because I need to puke and empty my stomach out. Long story short, major L. The biggest rookie mistake, fuck up, biggest L of my life. And I didn't see Lana Del Rey. I saw her from my MacBook when I got back to the house and wrapped myself up in a bunch of blankets and was laying there. And my day one of Coachella was a disaster. It was a complete failure. And then it got worse. A weekend that started off bad went from bad to what in the fuck is happening. I wake up the next day. My friend's bags are packed. Her suitcases are by the door. And I am like, what the fuck? What's happening? What's going on? And I'm not going to get into it because I love her and she had her reasons. I remember like pleading with her. I'm like, I swear to God, I'm not going to do anything or party that hard tonight. Like, I got it. I needed to kind of get my bearings in, and it's been a while for me. My friend leaves and flies back to her home, literally books a flight. She's out the door. And this happened in the span of 10 minutes. So I wake up. She's gone now. We got into a little bit of a tiff. And I'm in this house with people I don't really know. I work with them. I, you know, exchanged some fun words and vibes like at the festival. But besides that, like, I'm solo dolo. And I walk outside of my room and everyone who's staying at the house, which is like 5-6 people, including my manager, they're like, what the fuck? Like, is your friend good? And I start crying in front of everybody because I'm like, my abandonment issues. I'm also like, do I get a flight home too? Like, it was supposed to be kind of me and my friend doing this whole thing. And I look like a fucking lunatic to these people. And it's this weird dynamic where we're all there to party and like be homies, but I also work with them and they probably think I am an actual wreck, like lunatic, you know, like that wasn't really the vibe I was trying to put out there. So I go back in my room, you know, everyone's super nice and super chill and they convince me to stay. And they're like, you're fucking crazy. Like, you're staying. Your friend doesn't need to be here. Like, you've got us. And I go back in the room and I like call my friend and I'm like on FaceTime with her, kind of crying. And I'm like, I don't even know what I did wrong. And I feel like shit about myself. And I had this moment where it was like, do I do what I would normally do and put comfort above everything else and go home and go to my apartment and be in my little safety zone? Or do I just stay here and do this alone, you know? And I decided to stay, and that is really where things changed in the most unexpected way. Because you guys, again, remember, I don't really do shit alone. I'm always in a relationship. I make sure that I have like a friend with me. I have never traveled alone. Like, I've never done anything like that. And so I no longer have this security blanket and I need to be self-reliant. Of course, I have everyone staying with me and my management team. And that's where magical, incredible experiences started to happen. I got to know my team. I am absolutely obsessed with each and every single one of them. I met all of these people at the festival, and not just the slew. It's just like really cool people who I wouldn't have met if I was sitting there relying on the friend that I had brought with me. Like, none of those things would have happened. I was way more present because I didn't have anyone there to fucking get content and take pictures of me in all of my cool outfits. I'm just kidding. That's not why. I was more present because I was more myself. it reminded me that there are genuine people out there who actually care about me and want me to succeed. And not everyone is like this spiteful, scary, gonna fuck me over type of person. And I've kind of lived in that for a really long time now. That was a big deal for me, to be honest. And all of the look perfect and I don't have makeup anymore and maybe I'm not getting the pictures and like all of that shit just no longer mattered to me. And I was like, I just want to have fun. And I really dig the people I'm with and the people I'm meeting. And it's the human experience that I have not had in a very long time. And these things, although in nature are not a lot of pressure, at least they shouldn't be. Like they should just be this show up and have an incredible time and listen to music and vibe and all these wonderful things. When you're going, especially in my situation where there's like brands and there's all of this pressure to get content and have the coolest outfit ever and the makeup and the blah, 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 like these events can be super alienating and intimidating. I don't think a lot of people would admit to that, but it's true. And you're surrounded by the most beautiful, on their shit, brought their fucking assistants and content creators, machine people with them. And that wasn't me. Of course, I made part of my team get some pics of me, but like, that was no longer the main point. And I'm so happy for that. It allowed me the room to reconnect with myself and be Sophia. I'm always like in my apartment, buried in work or doing this next thing or this next thing. And it wasn't like that. And I was like, I was alone, but not alone. It showed me what I can do by myself. It made me way more confident, to be honest. As an individual, not only did it make me feel more confident, but like as a creative person. Like it opened up so many doors. And again, I met the coolest people. I met this dude who was from Utah, like at Zenyara, at the fucking on the beach where I also lost my phone. That's a whole other thing. I'm not only solo, but like come the last day of the festival, I don't even have a phone. I have no choice but to rely and trust the people around me. And I'm so happy I did. I am so fucking happy I did. And I don't want it to sound like me, 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 me. But it was really transformative because I'm telling you, like, I've not put myself out there in a long time, and I haven't been on my own in a long time. In fact, I'm never alone. And part of therapy and maturing in the last few years has been learning to lean on and trust myself, but also welcome and allow the fact that other people are rooting for me and welcome other people into my life that actually care about me and want to see me succeed. And that's what this weekend was. And I fucking love Coachella, okay? I'm here to say it. Will I go next year? I don't know. But now it's like, I'm down to like go do shit by myself and I'm down to connect with people. And it was fucking really cool. Yes, I took an L the first night. I'm not going to lie to you guys. The second night, I was close to taking a second L and I did sit in the grass, but my manager was not having it. And he verbatim was like, Sophia, you could make this night take a strong left turn for all of us right now, or you can get your ass up and come vibe. And you know what I did? I got my ass up and I fucking vibed. And I vibed through the weekend. So RIP phone, Coachella, maybe I'll see you next year, but I'm not going to be with a stylist or with a makeup artist. I'm going to be sitting my ass in the dirt and not giving a fuck, because that is what made it fun.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing me with free samples. Because Sleuths, I can breathe again. I talk about my allergies to anyone who will listen, including you guys, but I use Astapro now and you should too. Allergies can be truly les miserables. They throw my whole morning off, feeling and sounding like I'm in a submarine. Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray, which I didn't even know nasal sprays existed for allergies until I found out about Astapro. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. It is so much better than taking an allergy pill, honestly. I use Astapro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always so amazed at how quickly it works, like for real. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com, Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Au revoir, Sleuths. Get your passports out because we are about to have a summer that only a Mary-Kate and Ashley movie can rival. But before we hit the jetway, we're learning a new language because how else are we going to flirt for free drinks internationally? How am I going to get a spritz? I can only bat my eyelashes so much. Thank God for Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program, so that you can really speak the language for flirting or otherwise. I'm going to be including Rosetta Stone in my daily routine so that by the time my summer travels come around, I'll be just fluent enough to get what I want in any country. Rosetta Stone is the trusted language expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. It immerses you in every way possible and is specially designed for long-term retention. I plan to marry a guy from Europe, so thank God. And it's so easy. Available from your desktop or phone, Rosetta Stone will never be too far away. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Sophia with an F listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/Sophia. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/Sophia today. But let's move on, you guys, and let's jump into SOS,
save our sleuths, questions, stories, advice. And this first one really hit home, and I could do an entire episode on just this question, but here we go. Hey, Sophia, on a more serious topic, have you made any improvements on stopping yourself from self-deprecating? I have the awful habit of saying terrible things about myself with the intent to make others more comfortable. I know you've talked about this, but could you share how you have made self-improvement? Bold of you to assume I have made self-improvement, girlfriend. Oh my God, I just did it. I just made a little joke that was self-deprecating in this question about self-deprecation. But don't let that fool you, because you are correct, Slew. I have made major improvements with this. Being self-deprecating was my bread and butter. And I would do it constantly. There was not an episode that would go out that didn't have 20 self-deprecating remarks within it. And at the time, I was doing it in the pursuit of comedy, but also pushed this narrative of how fucking authentic and relatable I am. But the thing is I'm naturally all of those things. Like, I'm naturally funny. I'm naturally authentic. I'm naturally a relatable person. And those remarks were really just me feeling a need to prove it. Why? Because of insecurity. I think my self-deprecation stemmed from a lack of self-confidence. I think it was like a defense mechanism where it was almost like, let me make the joke about myself first before anyone else can make it, which is really like such a dumb way to think about it, because people are going to make jokes about me regardless if I throw in a self-deprecating remark or two. That's for sure. And it was just me needing to prove all of these things that, like, I no longer feel like I need to prove. I still make self-deprecating comments for sure, but there's a very big difference between a self-deprecating remark that you can feel is coming from a place of actual humor or insecurity. That's a big thing that I've learned. And I think where the self-improvement happened was during a therapy session I was having. And I was talking to my therapist and I said something, and my therapist is very like, it's not that she's not passionate, she doesn't sound like me. Let's just put it that way. And call this a self-deprecating remark. It's not, it's a fact. I speak very emphatically, very dramatically, very over the top, because that's just me. That's like the Argentine shit in my family. Like, you come over to my house for Christmas, you think everyone's fighting. Nope, that's just how we talk. Very intense. My therapist is very monotone, even keeled, and we're talking and I make a remark and she cuts me off, which never happens, and says, Sophia, why do you talk about yourself that way? Why did you feel the need to follow up that statement that was totally valid and your feelings are totally valid? Why do you talk to yourself and about yourself so poorly? And I hadn't even realized that I had done it in the moment. Like, she had to point it out to me. And that's when I knew, like, oh, so there's a bigger thing happening here. And then I started to really pay attention to the way that I talk to myself internally, like just up in my head and my brain and out loud. And I started to be way more conscious of it. And that's where I started to make the change. And if I'm making a self-deprecating remark, it's usually coming from a place now, I would say, of me generally accepting my flaws and like meaning what I say. But for you, because this isn't about me, but for you, Slu, you say that you have this awful habit of saying terrible things about yourself with the intent to make others more comfortable. That's another huge reason why people do self-deprecate. It is a form of people-pleasing. It's like if someone tells you, oh my God, like you look so amazing, you look so good, and your first reaction is, yeah, but my fucking ass looks like a diaper. See, that's what I used to say all the time and still kind of do, but not really because my ass is looking fat now. That's like an example of it. This is the funny thing about this, girl. You making a self-deprecating remark to make others feel more comfortable is probably having the opposite effect. And you're probably making people feel less comfortable. They're feeling uncomfortable because you're saying this negative thing about yourself. And most of the time, that's not really like gonna make this person feel like, oh, okay, great. Like she has these issues too. It can come off a lot of times like, ooh, this girl, I think she like needs to work on herself a little bit. And so take that into account. The next time you feel the need to make someone feel comfortable and you think the only way to do that is to talk badly about yourself, that's not what you need to do. What makes people feel comfortable is you being authentically yourself and not doing anything, whatever it is, self-deprecating remarks, what have you, to prove to them something. That is not what's going to make them feel comfortable around you. So just be aware of it. And how can you improve and be more aware of it? Just start paying attention. And it will take a while at first. It definitely took me a minute. But have people that are really close to you, friends, family, people you work with, people you talk to on a regular basis, and literally ask them to point out when you do those things, when you make those remarks. I started to have my personal trainer do that. I started to have my friends point it out or like people on my team. And then I just started to notice it as well. I think a lot of mindfulness practice and meditation will also make you much more aware of how your mind's working and the thought process from the second a thought enters your mind till it leaves, till how you react to it. And just start being more conscious of it and you will then start reeling it back in. And again, not all self-deprecating remarks are bad. Sometimes it's funny as shit, but mine definitely got to a point where it was like, this just sounds like a really insecure, scared little girl. And I had to work on that. Next question. My ex was the ambitious type, but was such a shitty boyfriend. My boyfriend now treats me so well and our connection is so strong, but he's not very ambitious. Which is better? The boyfriend that you didn't refer to as a shitty boyfriend, I'm going to go ahead and say is the one that is better, aka your current boyfriend. Like, I don't care if a guy is ambitious, rich, hot, funny, cool, huge dick, eats you out for hours. If you're saying such a shitty boyfriend to follow that up, then I don't give a fuck how ambitious this dude is. Like, really, I truly don't care. Go save world hunger if you're going to treat me like shit. I don't want to be a part of your mission. But the boyfriend you have now with this really strong connection, this is where you need to think about things a little bit differently, because I'm not going to say that that means the boyfriend you have now is your guy because you have a strong connection. That is something I've learned recently. Your connection with someone, your chemistry with someone, it's important, but it's really not all that important when you really make a list of the things and the values that are important to you and a partner. I'm going to say chemistry is coming kind of closer to the mid-bottom of that list alongside how ambitious they are. Do you guys share the same values? Is he a nice person? Is he a good person? Does he make you feel safe and secure? Will he evolve and grow with you? Does he let you be yourself? Those are the things that, like, you need to check off and make sure are there before you give a fuck about connection or ambition. And there's your answer. But between the two, fuck the guy that's ambitious if he's going to treat you like shit. We don't need him. We just don't. And you don't got to pick either or, baby girl, because we have options. You know what I'm saying? So don't settle. Shouldn't be between one or the other. All right. Next, advice and tips for when your crush stays the night for the first time. LOL. LOL is right, baby girl. When you're having a dude you like stay over at your place for the first time, it's a thing. Like, it is definitely a thing. Let me tell you what you don't do before I tell you what you should do. Do not have anything waiting for him. And what I mean by that is, like, you should physically, you know, be in your apartment waiting for him. Yeah. Do not have a toothbrush for him. Do not have a pie in the oven for him. Do not have a pair of slippers bedside for him. This isn't the fucking Four Seasons. There isn't turn down service and a little chocolate on his pillow. Like, do not cater to him in any way, shape, or form. This is the first time that this guy is staying the night, and none of those things are necessary. In fact, those are absolutely terrifying, and he may run for the hill. All you got to really do is show up and be yourself. What I think the biggest tip is for you to be comfortable and feel comfortable. Because it can be, like, a little bit nerve-wracking and weird. You, like, clean your place up. Well, I hope that goes without saying. Because that would be tip number two, is he doesn't need to know you that well that early on. Like, if a guy walked into my apartment right now, I have a box of toilet paper, paper towels, fucking lighting equipment everywhere. My mom's suitcase sprawled open. Sprawled, y'all. Her suitcase open. Like, my apartment looks like shit. Definitely make sure your place is clean and tidy and looks cute. However, he doesn't give a fuck about your 800 count bed sheets. He doesn't care if you clean them the night before. He's a boy. He's dirty. In fact, I would recommend cleaning them after, but also, like, don't have some spray tan sheets either. And I think that goes without saying. The biggest tip is do whatever you need to do in your apartment for you to feel comfortable. If you want to meditate first, if you want to do whatever, like, your little ritual is first, absolutely do it. Turn your apartment into a vibe without trying too hard. I don't like going straight for the TV thing. Like, if you're going to have your crush over for the first time and you're like, hello, here is my couch, and let's power up Netflix, and this movie looks good, let's turn that on, and let's sit here and watch this movie and in silence and not really, like, you know, have fun with each other. I don't like that. Like, if you want to turn the TV on, like, later, that's fine. I would have music playing. That is an absolute mandatory thing. Have some vibes. Have some music playing. Have a candle lit. Not too many. Not like you're doing a séance. Not like you're trying to, you know, make a sex tape in your room. Just a candle or two, and the lights dimmed and music playing. And when he gets there, chit chat. Like, you don't have to put on a show for him. You don't have to entertain him. Like, you are enough. He is going to your place to be with you. And when he gets there, offer him a drink. Offer him a joint. He's sober. Okay, let's do water. Do you want some tea? I have the best honey. Let's get the crock pot going. Damn, I am domesticated as fuck. It is not a crock pot. It is a teapot. Sit down on the couch and ask him how his day was. Tell him about your day. Tell him about a fucking anything that pops into your mind. Like, have some conversation. That's the most fun thing in the early stages with someone, is like getting to know them, and it's the first time he's spending the night. So just chill and, like, be relaxed and be comfortable, and he's coming to just chill with you. You don't need to, like, pull out the stops and, like, have anything going, you know? In fact, I think if you do pull out the stops and you're like, I have a delivery on the way and a chef coming in to make steak, like, it's, you're doing too much. Just be you. Make sure, like, you feel calm. And if you're feeling the nerves a little bit, that's totally fine. Like, they're going to go away once he gets there. And the thing is, dudes will make themselves at home. You don't have to worry about that. Offer him a drink. Ask him if he's hungry. You guys can make the drink together. See, that's what I'm saying. I would say, okay, cool. I actually want a cocktail as well. So why don't you hop up off the couch and come with me to the kitchen so we can, like, bartend together? I'm not your waitress. Like, we're here to have fun together. So how about you make me a cocktail? I want to see what you can come up with. Just have fun and, like, just do fun shit. And then a movie can come later, but hopefully it's, you know, sex toys and sex later. And sleuths, I think that I can't talk anymore. And I just wanted to tell you guys about my experience at Coachella. And I loved seeing you guys and I love you guys so much. And you will hear from me next week.